Turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings chapter number 18. We'll look at a few verses, verses 36 through 38. I'll begin at verse number 36. If you'll join me for verse 37, then I'll finish out on my own on verse number 38 of 1 Kings chapter number 18. Stand with me, please. First Kings 18, and I'll begin at verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, it has been good to be in your house tonight. Lord, it's been good meeting with your people. And Lord, as was said earlier, we do need a reviving tonight. Lord, we need you to meet with us, please. Pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just come in and just be a part of the remainder of the service, be the special music, and then be with our preacher as he preaches. I pray, Lord, that you'd please meet with us for a little while. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned, he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow compose so rich a crown? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God, was he, full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, hallelujah, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so my soul, my life, my all. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, the Almighty God, the Son of God, shouldst die for me?
Thank the Lord. Our Father, we're grateful tonight that You love us so much that You gave Your only begotten Son. So grateful. My heart's blessed. And those words, so powerful, Lord, about Your love for us, so undeserving, so unworthy, no merit in us whatsoever. You could have left us alone in our sin, bound for hell. But You sent Your Son. And that is amazing love. So tonight we're grateful. And Father, I know what You're worthy of. You're worthy of a heart that is hot and revived and full. And Lord, that's the thrust of the message tonight, that You can send revival. And I pray, God, that we would be good candidates for it in the next several days and following, and that You'll help me tonight be a blessing to the folks in the Bible message and speak to our hearts. But thank You for this reminder before we get into this message that how much You love us, this reminder in song. Help me tonight, in Jesus' name, and amen. When can God send revival? I repeat again, tonight, a verse that I quoted this morning or read, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." And the one who spoke those words was Jesus Christ. So I'm asking you, please, this is a very specific and targeted message tonight, to really pray for revival this Friday and Saturday during the time you've signed up for, whatever time you can make available. Beginning at 6 o'clock Friday night through 6 o'clock on Saturday night. Believe me, if it happens as planned, and I am in Madagascar by that time, it'll be 9 hours in advance. But I will have that in mind, and maybe I can easily fill one of those early morning slots on Saturday, because it will be Saturday afternoon over there. But please pray for revival. I know that you have burdens. I know that you have personal issues that you'd like to talk to the Lord about. I'm all for that, of course, but please join us. There's something about unified praying and asking God together. And when you pray for revival, please pray believing. Please pray desiring and believing that God can send it, because God can send revival. Revival can come to our hearts. Revival can come to our homes. Revival can come to our church. Now, this is a familiar story. In 1 Kings 18, Elijah is on Mount Carmel in the battle between himself and the prophets of Baal. And I'm not going to go into all that led up to this occasion, because I think probably most of you are fairly familiar with it. And I want to talk specifically tonight about the fact that on this mountain, God sent fire. He sent fire from heaven. I don't think the fire that we need in our hearts, in our homes, our church, is the literal fire, the literal kind that He sent here in 1 Kings 18. As much as it is the kind that John the Baptist talked about, spoke of in Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11, when he said these words, "He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear." Listen, talking about Jesus. "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." With fire. And that's the kind of revival fire. I'm not talking about Revival Fires Conference. That's coming up in April. I'm talking about revival fire in my heart. I'm talking about revival fire in your heart, in my home, in your home, in our church collectively. And I am of the firm belief tonight that God can give that fire. He gave fire here in this story, and He is the God that changeth not, which means He can still give fire. So God can send revival. God can give revival and send revival. And I want to take this story tonight and talk about when can God send revival. Point out some things to you that probably are not new. You probably have heard some of these before in other messages on this topic. But let me say first of all tonight that God can send revival when, number one, things are set in order. things are set in order. Look with me at verse number 30 here. And this is prior to the verses that we read with Brother Mick just a moment ago. And the prophets of Baal have had their time. They have screamed, they have leaped, they have danced. They have cut themselves with stones to the point where they're bleeding, asking for Baal to send fire. Nothing has happened. Look at verse number 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And the Bible says in verse number 33 that he put the wood in order. So when things are set in order, he repaired the altar and he put the wood in order. Can I say this, church, that we need to do some repair work before Friday and Saturday. We need to do some repair work before we get serious about asking God collectively as a church to send revival. You know, it won't be long now, and one of the blessed seasons of the year will be upon us. And I'm not talking about spring. I'm talking about construction season. And I'm not talking about just any construction. I'm talking about road construction. Road construction will be here before you know it. And the roads and bridges and sometimes interchanges go under repair. And people, that can be very trying. We can grow impatient with the merges and the backups. Don't you dislike the guy who you're in the long line, everybody's merging, and you dislike the guy that goes all the way up in the outside lane and then just get, and I know some of you are in the room tonight. I know you are. And you say, how do you know that? Because I used to be one of those. But I've learned a few things over the years. I like those truckers that block it. I like you guys that block the lanes, all right? Hey, I shouldn't even get into this, but in Tennessee one year, and we had one of those situations, and a guy came flying up on the outside lane, and we're merging to the right, and I saw him coming in my rearview mirror, and I got in the left lane. So I blocked him, and he tried to go around me, and I wouldn't let him go around me. God is my witness. He went down into the median. He went down to the median, around, and got up in there and everything. But that's the kind of guy that, you wish you could drop him on his head out of a 20-story building. But you get impatient with all those backups and those merges. Were you in the car then? Yeah, you were there. Okay. So there's my witness right there. I don't know how much he enjoyed it, but anyway, there goes Dad again, man. Your parents ever embarrass your children? Huh? Okay, so... But anyway, you know what's fun? You know what's nice now? And I dislike it as much as anybody in here, but I'll tell you what's nice now. What's nice is to get on Interstate 57, going to Loyola Hospital, and go right from 57 to 294. Where you used to have to go 57 to 80 to 294, now you can go straight all the way to 57 to say, knock 20 minutes off your time going up there in that direction. And you know, the truth of the matter is, how many times have I driven on a smoothly paved road that a few months ago was under repair? And it aggravated me and it, you know, frustrated me and the backups. But now that it's all finished and it's repaired, it's nice. It's nice. You got to admit that. It's nice. But before it became nice, before it was smooth sailing, repair work had to be done. Now, I asked a question tonight, what needs to be repaired in my heart and your heart in order for God to send revival? Because God can send revival when things are set in order. And I think it's interesting here that they repaired the altar, because I think in some sense, our heart is the altar of our life. And we need some repair work over the next several days. And I want to encourage you, church, to do some repair work over the next few days. And better yet, invite the Spirit of God to do that work for you. Invite Him to put His shovel into your heart and dig up that which needs to be taken out and turn over and plow up and rake out and hammer out and chisel whatever needs to be done, but allow the Spirit of God to do some repair work in our hearts. Allow Him to fix and to repair and to cleanse and to wash. Dr. Lee Robertson said this. He said, and I'm quoting now, revival begins in the individual heart. That's where it begins. In the individual heart. Then he said, let it begin with you on your face alone before God. Turn from every sin that might hinder. Renew yourself to a new devotion to the Savior. And I want to say, church, let me encourage you to get that repair work started tomorrow. Tomorrow. So that by the time we get to Friday and Saturday, you know, God's already had the opportunity to take whatever He's had to do. Take out, put in, change, fix. But do the repair work on our hearts that needs to be done. So many times I have to question if God's people hinder His Spirit from really doing the repair work that He would like to do in our hearts. There's a common thread that I've noticed, and this is not just in the last 6 months. This is over time. A common thread. And here's what happens. I preach a message from the pulpit that has a particular theme. It's on a particular subject. I'm going to meddle a little bit right now, so I'm telling you that in advance, okay? And I preach a message that has a particular theme or a particular subject. And, you know, it was okay. It goes over okay. I don't know how it went. Sometimes it's received, and sometimes I wonder how it was received. And then some days later, I get a phone call or somebody calls and says, can I spend a little time? Do you have some time this week? Can you see me? And I say, sure. And so we get together and try to work it out. And then it goes something like this. You know, last Wednesday, two Sundays ago, you preached a message. And boy, I felt like you were speaking right to me. Right to me. And I got some issues. And I got some problems. And can you help me? And I want to. And I try to. Sometimes taking the little piece of paper out of the thing back there and writing down a few things and giving it to the individual or to whoever it is and take those home and keep it in your Bible as a reminder of some things that you can do. And we pray, you know, and we ask God to bless the situation and help. And then they leave the office and I'm left to ponder for a little bit myself. You know what I ponder? You know what I remember? I go back to that message that Sunday morning, that Sunday night, that Wednesday night. And you know what is often the case? They weren't at the altar. They weren't at the altar. And sit in the room and tell me how much God spoke to my heart. How much God used the message. But there was no kneeling. There was no humbling. There was no coming to the altar, coming forward. You say, Brother Andrew, you can't make a case for coming to the altar and you can't make one for not coming. History's on my side, not yours. They had what they called the mourner's bench, friend. People came forward and they got things repaired. Nothing is finished down here unless you come to be saved. It can be finished right down. If I think a person that comes to be saved, it's finished when they step out in the aisle. Nothing is finished down here, but I want to tell you something. Things get started down here. Things get started down here. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse number 6, talking about God, but He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You know, when God speaks to our hearts, friend, and wants to do some repair work, and we need the repair work, we don't need God working against us because we won't humble ourselves. We need God working for us. Not against us. And I suggest to you, friend, that, you know, I'm not talking about that all situations are cared for at the church altar. But I am here to say this, that God can send revival when things are set in order. And sometimes God wants to set those things in order right down here. Begin the process. I read what Charles Finney said this week. Charles Finney said this, there can be no revival when Mr. Amen and Mr. Wet Eyes are not found in the audience. I don't think, some of you don't like that. You think it's a Baptist thing. I don't think Charles Finney was a Baptist. If my recall is right, I don't think Charles Finney was a Baptist. I forget what he was, but let me read it to you again. And by the way, I was thrilled tonight during Ryan's song when there was a spontaneous amen. I can make a biblical case for that. Biblical case for it. He said, there can be no revival when Mr. Amen and Mr. Wet Eyes are not found in the audience. I think it's very interesting that, you know, when our tears dry up at the altar, when our tears dry up in our seat, you know, the things begin to dry up collectively in the church. God can send revival. There's nothing wrong with God. The same God that sent the fire there in 1 Kings 18 is the same God who's in heaven tonight. But things don't get set in order. And I'm asking you, do some repair work this week. And let me just say, from this point and forward, for every church service, if I'm speaking, if Brother Mick is speaking, if Brother Luke is, if Brother Larry, if there's a guest speaker, I don't care who it is, if the Spirit of God reaches out and taps your heart with something specific, friend, He may want to do some repair work and may want to start the process right down here. Right down here. And I'll say it again. History is on my side. Not yours. When it comes to preaching and revival. God can send revival when things are set in order. I watch service after service sometimes. People who are struggling with major issues never bow the knee. Never bow the knee. And I ponder, what in the world? What would keep a person who's in great need from kneeling at the altar? I don't know if it's pride. I don't know if it's just intimidation. It's a church. What are they going to think? I think I can honestly say this. I don't think since I have been saved that I have ever stood through an invitation and thought, what does somebody think about whether I go forward or not? I think I can honestly say that. I don't think I've ever been intimidated by that. If the Spirit of God speaks to my heart, I want to make myself available for repair work, for whatever He wants to do. And a lot of times I'll just say it's not finished down here, but it is started down here when God's people respond to the Word of God and the Spirit of God working. God can send revival when things are set in order. Number two, let me say this tonight, that I believe God can send revival when there is a sacrifice of that which is precious. A sacrifice of that which is precious. Look at verse number 33 with me again, if you will, please. You know where we are in the story. Elijah's fixing to get ready to call to pray, okay? Verse 33, and he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. Now, folks, you understand that 12 barrels full of water poured on the bullock. Now, listen, did away with any possibility that there was some kind of shenanigans that Elijah had with some kind of concealed fire in that sacrifice. Some kind of hot coals or something. And you know, it was soaked. I mean, it was drenched. It was absolutely soaked. But there is more here to this pouring the water on than to just take away the notion that there were some kind of coals concealed in the altar and that's how Elijah got fire. There's more to it than this. These folks were in a 3.5-year drought. No rain, no dew. No rain, no dew. They've been talking about this drought out in California. I suppose it's real, although they've gotten some moisture recently. But here it's no rain, it's no water. No rain, no dew. Do you know what that makes water? Makes it precious. And Elijah poured 12 barrels full on that sacrifice. And friend, I think in doing so, he showed that God's fire was more important to him than water. Now ask us the question tonight, what is so precious to us today that we would sacrifice for the purpose of revival? What is so precious to us today that we would sacrifice for the purpose of revival? Can I make a suggestion tonight? Time. Time. I don't have time. I'm too busy. Man, my schedule's full. My plate's full. I'm out of time. Time. To get on our knees and pray this Friday and Saturday specifically for revival, for God to send a fire in our hearts, our homes, our church, for us to do that, we're going to have to take away time from something else that we usually give to something else and devote it to the matter of praying for revival. But friend, God's fire, God's revival can fall when there is a sacrifice of that which is precious. And I appreciate you taking the time, because time is precious. Taking the time to take that segment of out of your day or the evening and spend it with the Lord as with a husband and wife or with the family. Because you know what it's saying? It's saying, God, I am making time for this. I am taking time away from this, which is what my normal schedule, what I normally would do, and I'm setting it aside for this. I feel like this is so important. I am willing to sacrifice this time. I am making time for prayer by taking time from something else because, God, revival is important to me. To me. Time. You know, I think you remember the story when David numbered the people there in 2 Samuel chapter 24. That's an interesting story. I don't have time to go into all that tonight. Remember Joab tried to talk him out of it? Said, David, you don't want to do that. God makes His people 10,000 times more than they are anyway, and He does. Talking about the nation of Israel. But David said, no, we're going to number the people, and Satan was involved in all that somehow. And so they numbered the people, and then God was angry. And remember, He sent the prophet to David and said, you tell him he's got three choices. And do this, he could either have this, he could have this, or have this. David said, let me fall into the hands of the Lord because God is merciful, man is not. Man's mean, cruel. God's merciful. So he said, let me fall into the hands of God. You remember the plague started, the people started dying. Four people died because of David's adultery and murder with Bathsheba and Uriah. I think it's 70,000 died when he numbered the people, probably in pride. Maybe we should readjust our thinking about which sin is actually worse. And I'm not saying, hey, adultery is okay. Sometimes our things just don't, we don't think like God thinks. 70,000 people died. I may be wrong on that. It might have been 80,000. I forget. 70 comes to my mind. Huge number. And David goes to offer a sacrifice on the floor of the threshing floor that belonged to Arunah there. And when David came up, he came with some money and some gold and some silver. And he said, Arunah, you name your price because I need to offer a sacrifice. And Arunah said, hey, why would I take any money from, I'm paraphrasing, why would I take any money from the king? I'll just give it to you. You can just have it and you can alter, you can offer the sacrifice and it won't cost you anything. And David would not even consider offering something to God which cost him He said, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. I won't do that. I wouldn't dare insult God by offering Him something that didn't cost me anything. Think about that. And in light of the song that Brother Ryan sang tonight, the great sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made, that amazing love, it ought to cost us something, a little bit of something. In this matter of praying, asking God to revive our hearts. God can send revival when there is a sacrifice of that which is precious. Thank you for setting some time aside. Please don't forget it. Jump in if you haven't yet. Set some time aside to repair your heart before you get to your prayer time on Friday or Saturday. Use that time and then time on Friday or Saturday. Time is precious. And giving that to God, giving that which is precious to God, which cost us something, is a good, good thing. A very good thing. Let me say number three tonight. That God can send revival when there is simple believing prayer. Look at verse number 36 and 37 with me, right here in the text, okay? This is what we read a moment ago. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, the next word begins his prayer, Lord God of Israel, of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel and that I am Thy servant, that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. End of prayer. 63 words. 63. You know how many words I've said tonight in this message already? 63. Words. Simple believing prayer. It's the same theme as the message this morning. And you look again in verses 36 and 37 at the personal references, the personal pronouns, the personal references to God, Lord, God, Thou, the all those personal references to God. It was a public prayer, but it was uttered from the confidence of a personal relationship. You know, when it comes to praying for God to send revival, we don't need oration. It's not important that your prayer be eloquent. It is important that you pray from the confidence of a personal relationship with a personal God. That's what's important. And pray that way, folks, believing in your heart. And I want to show you something else about this prayer, 63 words long. It was based on God's Word. I like what He says at the end of verse number 36. I have done all these things at Thy Word. You know, when we structure our prayer on the basis of God's Word, you know what I thought about? When we structure our prayer on the basis of God's Word, we will not ask amiss. James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. You say, Pastor, is praying for revival biblical? Psalm 85:6, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Psalm 138:7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. I love Isaiah 15. Don't miss the wordage in this verse. Listen carefully. I know sometimes it's hard to listen when people are quoting from Scripture, but listen to the verbiage, the words here. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. How big is your God? Inhabiteth eternity. Whoa, brother! Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Listen, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Oh, praying for God to send revival is biblical. Habakkuk 3:2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. I want to tell you something. When we structure our prayer on the promises of God's Word, we can't ask amiss. It's not consumed upon our own lusts. It's biblical. It's right. So we have a simple believing prayer. And then I had this thought as well. This prayer was for God's glory. This simple prayer was for God's glory. Look at verse number 36 where it says here, let me find it exactly. The prophet came near and said, Lord God, let it, right in the middle of the verse, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Whose glory is he praying for? God's. Look at verse number 37. That this people may know that thou art the Lord God. Revival can come when it's not about us. Now, folks, this is not so that we can get on Facebook, and I'm not jamming Facebook. I'll do that another time, okay? But I'm not doing that now. But this is not so that we can get on Facebook and say, man, our church prayed for revival, and we did this, and we did this. This is for God's glory. This is for God's honor. We need to know that God can send revival. Our kids need to know that God can send revival. It's about God. It's what God deserves. It's what God is worthy of. God, and that's what God impressed upon my heart. I knew where I was going in the message when Brother Ryan was standing here singing those songs, that medley of songs about the love of God. I thought, you know, God, He is worthy of a hot heart. God is worthy of a revived heart. He is worthy of more than a cold, lifeless heart. He is worthy of more than a lukewarm, tepid, blasé heart. He is worthy of a hot heart where pride is melted away and self-interest is torn down and God is placed on the throne. That's what He's worthy of. That's what He's worthy of. It's for His glory. It's for His honor. Because a hot heart beating within the breast of Terry Angel's glorifying to God. And a hot heart beating within your breast is glorifying to God. A hot heart beating within the four walls of your home for God is glorying to God. It's honoring to God. God has more honor. God gets more honor than the television set. That's what I'm talking about tonight. He's worthy of it. Simple believing prayer. 63 words, personal, structured on the Word of God for God's glory. Think about that. Everybody in this room is capable of a prayer like that. I'm not sure that I'll word it right and say all the sentences correctly. Let it come from your heart. He is your Father. Talk personally to Him. Base it on the authority of His Word and pray for His glory. God can send revival to a 63-word prayer. He did to Elijah in those days. Then let me say number four tonight, this right here. God can send revival when there is a need. When there is a need. Now, in this story here, I see two needs that are very prevalent. First of all, I see the fact that the country was in need. Obama was king and Michelle was... I'm sorry, Ahab was king and Michelle and Jezebel... excuse me, was queen. Simpler, but quite like that. Now, Ahab was king, Jezebel was queen. That should be enough said about the condition of the country. Because none did stir himself up to do more wickedly than Ahab did. And Jezebel was part and parcel in all that. Stirring him up, stirring him up. The nation is under the judgment of God. A 3.5-year drought, no rain, no dew. Baal worship. Listen to me. Baal worship. You know what Baal worship was? False god. Baal was a false god. And Baal worship was prevalent. And I'll say to you tonight, friend, no, all joking aside, that many parallels can be made from this story to our country today. And I'll just put it right in there. That the introduction of Islamism that our president is encouraging and promoting is the worship of a false god. We're opening our borders and opening our doors and holding hands with and encouraging and embracing all this crowd that worships this false god. And I could talk for a longer time than we have tonight about the condition of our country, but I don't think I need to. I think you know where it is. The country had a need. And our country has a need. But there was a greater need. The greater need was the people of God were in need of revival. God's people. I'm talking about the Israelites. Look at verse number 21, all the way back at verse number 21, at the beginning of this whole ordeal. The Bible says that Elijah came unto all the people and said, ask them a question, how long halt ye between two opinions? And by the way, they didn't answer him. You know what that means when you don't answer a question? You don't want to know. You don't want to answer. You don't know. How long halt ye between two opinions? If Baal's God, follow Baal. If God is God, follow God. They didn't answer. They were guilty. In one ear they heard the voice of Baal's preachers, follow Baal. In the other ear they heard the voice of God's prophets, follow the Lord God Jehovah. And you know what happens? They were of a divided mind and a divided heart. I want to tell you something. Revival could fix that. Revival can fix that. You say, Pastor, no one here is torn between God and Baal. Yes, I agree. I don't think anybody in this room is torn between Christianity and Islamism. I don't think you'd be here if you were favored, if you favored Islamism. But I want to say this, folks. God's people have a divided heart between God and the world. Worldliness and materialism have just as much impact on us as Baal did on this bunch. And that's the truth. I could take you to scriptures tonight that Jesus Himself uttered. We talked about the cares of this world. Remember that? Choke the seed. Choked it. The deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world choked the seed. God's people have a divided heart between God and the world. So much of the world has bombarded us. Don't sit there tonight with a pious look and say, not me. You know it has. You know it has. It bombards us. Duncan Campbell said this, a baptism of holiness, a demonstration of godly living, is the crying need of our day. And I want to say, Christian friend tonight, church folk, God bless you, church members, listen, we are in need of a revival. If you don't think you are, you're probably the one most in need. In need of revival. Because the world has an impact on us, whether we're willing to admit it or not. And the truth of the matter is, we have a great God that can send a great revival. We have a God that can send revival. And the fire that God sent, it concreted in these people's minds. The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. So, when can God send revival? When things are set in order. When there is a sacrifice of that which is precious. When there is simple believing prayer. And when there is a need. You know what John Rice said? He said, present day wickedness, apostasy, and modern civilization cannot prevent revival. Well, Pastor, if present day wickedness and apostasy and modern civilization cannot prevent revival, what can? I think Leonard Ravenhill said it best. As long as we are content to live without revival, we will. You know who puts that? You know who that puts it on, folks? Puts it on us. Because God can send revival to my heart and yours, to our homes that are so desperately in need of being strengthened, and husbands and wives' hearts turn toward each other in a solid bond of love and faithfulness, fidelity and commitment that cannot be severed. We're in need of that. Our church is in need of revival. God can send it. I quote him again, as long as we are content to live without revival, we will. I hope that you'll join me this week getting some repair work done before Friday. And then at your appointed time, Friday and Saturday, ask God to give us a revival, to give you one. And let's believe that He can and that He will. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, would you please use this message and your word tonight to prepare us for a great week. And I ask God, I know people are busy and they have very demanding work responsibilities, very demanding jobs that require concentration and effort, jobs that tire them out physically. But I pray that through your word and your spirit, our inner man can be renewed day by day. God, we could have a week here, especially a 24-hour time period later this week, where we really give some thought process to this matter of revival. God, start it in my heart. Start it in the hearts of these dear people. Start it in our homes and in our church. God, we know that revival is not concocted by man. It's not worked up some philosophical feeling. It comes from heaven. Would you please send it to our hearts tonight, because we know that you can. And please do. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're not saved, my goodness, I don't know what would keep you from trusting Christ as your Savior. The Spirit of God spoke to you tonight. Would you join us this week in asking God to send a revival to your heart and begin the repair work right away? Maybe even tonight during the invitation. As the ladies play, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You obey the Lord tonight. You do exactly what God tells you to do.